As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Back into on 8 o'clock here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Damn, glad to have you as we roll through draft day. Shout out to Matt, who was the winner of the Booth Creek Wagyu, Casey's Best Steaks, now with two locations, 95th and Nolan, 135th and Metcalf. So congratulations, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
The winner. Yeah, hey, Matt.
Good morning. You got free beef.
So your story with Deion Sanders to Kansas City?
Yeah, this is pretty cool. Kurt Nelson, Royals historian, sent this last night, and he said, with the 2025 draft tonight, and Shedeur Sanders, an intriguing story for the Royals. And it goes a little bit like this. Deion was a standout, obviously, at North Fort Myers High School, which was just 6 miles away from the Royals' original spring training home in Fort Myers. The Royals selected North Fort Myers High School senior Deion Lewin Sanders in the sixth round of the 1985 June player draft. So not only did the Royals draft John Elway, Dan Marino, they also drafted Deion Sanders as well in 1985. Royals scouting director Art Stewart said of Sanders, he was just 17 years old but had amazing tools. He had speed and power. He hit from the left side and could really fly. He ran a 3.94 to first, which for a 17-year-old is pretty fast. Deion was familiar with the Royals, met with them, but was torn because he also wanted to play football at Florida State. And we knew it would be difficult to get him. We knew he wanted to play football, but we were persistent. We kept at it. And when the draft came around, we thought he'd take a chance. In fact, the Royals' legendary scout thought if they had a deal done, that they would have Deion Sanders. Quote, we had a verbal agreement over the phone, but our scout got there too late. Somehow, in the middle of the night, Florida State got him and signed him. And Art Stewart says, I mean, we had him. Royals manager Dick Houser even had discussions with Deion, but told the young man he should do what he really wanted to do, which ended up being signing a letter of intent to play at Florida State. So the Royals could have had Deion Sanders, Dan Marino, and John Elway all on the same team. How different the sports world would have been if those guys kind of went the baseball route, and Deion really ultimately went the football route. I mean, he was fine in Major League Baseball, but nothing like he was in the NFL, you know, where he was an absolute game changer. Deion would go on to be college teammates with former Royals coach Pedro Grifol as well, who was part of that Florida State team. I think they won the national championship, if I'm not mistaken, in baseball, one of the years that Deion was down there at Florida State. So pretty cool story, man. But you look back at some of the Royals draft picks, they've had some really, really big time names. And Deion was a sixth round draft pick. It's too bad he didn't sign here in Kansas City.
Coach Prime.
Could have been the manager right about now, right? Could you imagine Deion being the manager of a baseball team? That'd be fun.
I like him better at football.
Yeah. Because that's what we're used to him as, you know?
Baseball. Just run fast. You'll beat it out. We're all not 4-2 guys, Deion. Deion ran a 4-4. It is the NFL draft. Again, friendly reminder, the Landing and Liberty tonight starting at 6 o'clock. Bink Unicero, they'll be here at 9. Alex Gold at 8:45 as well to give you some draft props if you want to bet on them before you head over to the Missouri side at the Landing in Liberty. But $965 cash prize, Juwan Taylor autographed helmet. Every player you get right, you get a point. If you get the right player on the right team, you get 3. Your sheet must be turned into Steven Inspector before the draft is officially started with the Tennessee Titans are now on the clock. So get that thing in there and hopefully you get a chance to win some moolah. There's always fun stories after the draft. Like there's always the who fell, who slid, who didn't go, right? Will Levis. He sat there at Union Station all night only to lose a girlfriend to endorsement steals to Burger King. And then there are steals in the draft where we go back and you're like, holy smokes, everybody passed on DK Metcalf. Everybody passed on player A or whatever. There's always going to be that. Like Trent McDuffie was considered a steal when Brett Veach moved up and got him. He was like, this guy should not have gone because we'll get this right. Like halfway through the season, they'll redo the 2025 draft in the way that it played out. Right. Like last year, it took him very quickly to put Daniels in front of Williams and be like, he should have been the number one overall pick. Rookie of the year, made sense, went to the NFC Championship game, all that. Who is your biggest steal in the NFL draft?
For the Chiefs, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, we're doing only Chiefs.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Patrick Mahomes is the biggest steal for the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's, I mean, I don't think there's any other way to talk about that. I mean, what he's been able to accomplish, what he's been able to do, there's nobody else that has meant more and done more for this organization than what Patrick Mahomes has done for this organization. So in my opinion, I don't know if that's the easy answer. Some people may roll their eyes and want to say Trey Smith because he was a 6th-round draft pick. But the impact and everything, Patrick Mahomes hasn't just impacted the Chiefs. He's impacted the world. And I'll just say the world as so I don't have to list everything that Patrick Mahomes has impacted. But he is by far at the 10th pick overall. Patrick Mahomes is the biggest steal for the Kansas City Chiefs in draft history.
Yeah, it feels like even if he was number one overall, we'd be getting
number
a steal.
One overall. Like, you're right. You're 100% right on that.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, you're 100% right on that. And I wouldn't argue that. If he's the number one pick, that's a steal. Because he's done so much more than anybody could have ever expected Patrick Mahomes to do.
And that's just on the field. And then off the field, great guy, and he's done a million great
that's
things
what I'm
for
saying.
The city.
He's impacted the world.
Yeah, he really has. No, you're right. He has.
He owns teams. He's getting stadiums built. He's a private jets lineup here. Like it's nobody's business. Like at the 10th overall pick, trading up for Patrick Mahomes, he has been a steal for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, at first I was like, it's a first round pick, Bob. But then you talk about it, it's like, no, I mean, yeah.
Who's impacted the team and the city more than this guy?
No,
right?
Close.
I mean, it's everything that he's done, everything that this team does is based on Patrick Mahomes. Everything that they do is based on Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, I could come up with 3. I think you talk about what they've done for the city. Travis Kelce being a steal in the
huge
third round.
He's
supposed to be a high pick, right? Yeah. But then he had the pot stuff in Cincinnati.
He smoked a marijuana cigarette in college. Mm-hmm.
Smoked cannabis.
Yep. Then they praised him for smoking it in his like car with going down, whatever it was. But the two others that I have are Trey Smith being a 6th-round pick, and now he's gonna be the highest paid guard in the NFL and he's a future of your interior line. And whether you like him or not, Tyreek Hill was a steal.
No doubt. No doubt he was
a steal. Tyreek Hill in the 5th round. Obviously, allegations surround that from when he left Oklahoma State to go to
Western Alabama, Or West Alabama? Last Chance U?
Something like that. But you got him in the 5th round. Yep. Sparked a bunch of controversy when he got drafted. I was here that day. The phone lines were not pleasant. The text line was brutal. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know, 4 months later, but he's chanting his name in the stadium when he returns a kick against the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Great football player, and that's all I'll say about that.
Those are steals.
Yeah.
Houston's a good one.
Justin Houston's a pretty good pick.
Third round.
McDuffie is one. Also a 1st-round pick, but he was considered a steal.
Yeah, because he kept falling, and the Chiefs traded up and had that foresight to realize this is a 1st-round draft pick. We're going to trade up, and we're going to get this guy. I mean, Jamal Charles was a 3rd-round draft pick. You could probably make the case for him kind of being a steal of that draft. I mean, you know, Derek Thomas, you can go back and say he was the one that really turned the franchise around with that pick by Carl Peterson to select Derek Thomas and make sure that he came in here and got right into the community and did all of that stuff that he needed to do to kind of get this organization back. Like Derek Thomas was a big, big part of the turnaround of the Chiefs when Carl and Marty took over this thing, because it wasn't the quarterback back then. It was Derek Thomas. That was their guy. They built this entire organization around him. And Derek Thomas really was the perfect fit to turn this franchise around.
Am I wrong on this? Wasn't Justin Houston also weed related at Georgia?
Yes, that's exactly right. Yes, that's true. Yeah, he dropped because of weed. And I remember when they picked him and Pioli didn't think it was that big a deal. And everybody was like, oh my God, this guy smoked marijuana. Yeah, now you're like, the guy didn't smoke weed. He's falling. We got to have a weed smoker. That guy doesn't know how to heal his own body. He's out.
What about Jamal Charles, a third round
pick? That's what I said. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Jamal.
I think we mentioned Trey Smith. Yep. I think Isaiah Pacheco is a good one.
That's
I
know a good steal. Seventh round pick. Yeah.
One of your guys, not on the level of these, but Mike Dana in the fifth round.
Yeah.
I know it's not the level, but been a really solid player for this team.
Oh, he's been great.
Round,
yeah.
That's tough to find.
He's been phenomenal.
I would love a Mike Dana in the fifth round this year.
One we're missing, Jerod Allen, fourth round pick. Mm-hmm. You said that one too, didn't you?
Jerod Allen.
Yeah. You can't have fun with a name anymore? We're getting all serious now, Dad?
No, it's fine. I didn't know if the text line texted in Jerod Allen.
No.
Remember that guy, Jerod Allen, that we had here? Yeah, I do. And he didn't want to have a contract. And he had some off-the-field stuff, too.
Yeah, some off-the-field stuff.
How long did his restaurant last? 5 seconds or six? I mean, like, that thing did not last at all.
What about Dante Hall in the fifth?
Yeah.
That's a steal, right? He was an impact player.
Yeah.
Won you some games.
Yeah.
I'm just going down all these lists of, like, anywhere after, like, the third round. Oh, wow. Turmeric Vanover's a name that just came up
good.
In the third round. That guy was a steal. I don't know if this is considered a steal, because I was thinking about this name as well. Will Shields.
Steal.
Okay, guard, third round. I know people are like, he's a guard, and you don't steal.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, one of the best offensive linemen to ever play
the game.
And he's a third round steal. Pick. So I was wondering about that.
Absolutely. Whoever says Will Shields isn't a steal in the third round, man.
I just wondered about the guard position. Can you consider a guard a steal?
I mean, we put Trey Smith in there, right? I mean, and Trey Smith and Will Shields play the exact same position and whatnot. And so, Will Shields is a definite steal. I mean, hell, I had Patrick Mahomes number 10 overall as a steal. It's all about what you contribute, you know?
True. I think if you go look at Will Shields' pro football reference page and all the accolades, it takes you like 10 minutes to read it.
Is it really that long?
It's insane.
Oh, wow.
Type in Will Shields, go to pro football reference where they have the little right side. Yeah. It's like 15-time All-Pro, 10-time Pro Bowler, like all these awards. It's nuts when it comes to Will Shields.
He was a magical lineman, man. I mean,
like if he was in the military, his jacket would just be completely covered in awards on one side.
Right? Like, I get that reference. That looks good. I can see it, you know, because he should. I mean, like,
should have a Super Bowl.
When did I know it sucks? When did he retire? I'm trying to think of the year that he retired.
You guess?
2008?
06.
Okay. So he retired in 2006. Here it is. I almost said a bad word.
20 years later.
Yeah. 20 years later, and we're still talking about the greatness of Will Shields, and he hasn't been on the field since the 06 season. That tells you how impactful. I mean, Derek Thomas has been gone for 25 years, and we're still talking about the greatness that was Derek Thomas. There's not many players in your organization, whatever team you root for, that 26 years later, 25 years later, 20 years later after they played, especially in offensive linemen, like, man, that play by Will Shields. I can cite specific plays where I'm watching Will Shields run down the field and just, I mean, he was unbelievable. Yeah, so absolutely a steal. Absolutely. One of the great steals in NFL history is Will Shields.
Do you consider Chris Jones a steal?
Yes.
When was he? Third?
Second round. First pick of the second round.
Yeah, they didn't have a first pick in that.
Yeah, I remember that. I'd still consider him a steal. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
He's the best at his position.
Yep.
What were you about to say before I interrupted you?
Never missed a game, only missed one start. Will Shields.
God.
the only start that he missed.
It was his
The first game.
Yes.
His first NFL game, he did not start. And that's the only time he did not start. And never missed a game.
Never, 13 years.
He was the ultimate, like, he would go on the field and just be a nasty offensive line. And then get off the field and be the sweetest man ever. And still is to this day. Like, Will Shields, Hall of Fame person as well. Like, just a great, 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 great guy. He's the entire package, man. He's the whole package.
You know who Mitch Holtis comped a player on the Chiefs roster, Will Shields? Trey Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And now he might be the second guard in your history, unless you count Joe Tooney. But, I mean, Trey Smith will be here, what we think, with a contract for a lifetime of a career.
Right.
Will Shields.
Same thing.
And he's like, because you say that, nicest guy off the field, but he'll, because I remember when Mitch said that, he was like, Trey Smith, man, he'll rip your arms off and beat you to death with him after the game. He'll be like, hey, it's really nice to meet you. Nice.
No, Trey's the best. Yeah.
Do you have orchids or tulips in your
scary
yard?
Right. Yeah, Trey's the best, but
oh, man.
I mean, very, very good comp to Will Shields.
No doubt.
Awesome on the field, even better off the field.
We go back over success rates and why they are eye-popping on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into it. Jay Binkley's in the house.
I'm surprised he's not here earlier, quite honestly.
He's got his draft day hat on, the white camo with the gray stitching down the middle of the hat with the KC interlocked for the Chiefs. Arrowhead on the outside label. Shorts, t-shirt, ready to go. Duct taped to the leg. Draft day, baby.
He's ready to roll.
I think I'm ready for Friday.
Well, we're all ready for it to be over. We're all ready for it not, and the answer is not over. We're ready to know who we get. We want to know. The anticipation has been killing us for, you know, these last couple of months. We want to know where this team's going to go and who the new players are going to be. That's all. We want our gifts.
Let me ask you this. Okay, hypothetically, if I told you I knew for 100% the Chiefs were not picking at 31 tonight, how long would you be tuned into the draft?
Till about 8:30 when I fell asleep.
What basketball game's on tonight?
Three.
Yeah, exactly. If I get my two TV set up, probably till I head to bed around 10.
Wow, you're hanging on that long.
It's more about just the Chiefs. I'm a sucker for drama. I'm a sucker for the cliffhanger. I'm a sucker for the what could happen. And I know there haven't been any trades, and we've reached draft day. First time ever that we've reached this point in time where everybody has their original first-round pick.
It's coming.
And yeah. But then the flip side is there anybody worth trading up for? Like Ben Maller talked about, nobody's climbing all over themselves where there's the have-to-have guy in this year's draft, right? Abdul Carter's the best player, but he's not I got to trade up to get him. Cam Ward's the number one quarterback, but only because there's nobody else. And so you don't have the folks there that maybe people really want and need, but who knows? Maybe as we get later in the first round, I'm always of the belief in the NFL, there's going to be something that happens that I don't want to miss. And that's why they're the best league out there. You know, they're the best league out there because you always feel like even on a night where they're reading names that most of us have never heard of, hardly any of them, we don't want to miss it because there may be something we miss. And you don't want to be the guy who missed that big moment because you fell asleep or went to bed or your team wasn't picking and everybody's talking about it the next day. That's where I am with the NFL. I'm a sucker.
I think I'd be tuned in until like pick 12. I think if I'm being honest.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'd be like, okay, pick 12.
Is that where the Cowboys are, 12?
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. But no, I think I'd be there because like, you've seen the big names go, like Genty's either going to be in Jacksonville or he's going to be in Vegas. Hunter's either going to go 2 or surprisingly he goes 1. He just says he's going to play quarterback 2. Cam Ward goes. Shador slips out of the top 10 because the Saints decide they're not taking him. Maybe there's some movement. But, yeah, I mean, like, top 10 picks, that gets me – that basically probably would get me, what, to like 8-15?
Mm-hmm.
7-15 to 8-15. They're probably going to give out the first pick announcement at 7:15. Goodell will come out, give his message. What a great season it was last year where the Philadelphia Eagles reigned supreme.
Boo.
Do they come out and like flash the trophy like the Chiefs did? When
no,
they won?
Because it's in Green Bay. Had this thing been in Philadelphia, it would have been a different story.
Yeah, your NBA games tonight, 6, 8:30, and 9. Knicks, Pistons at 6, Thunder and Grizzly at 8:30, and Nuggets and Clippers at 9.
Now, if you're a diehard for one of those teams, like
what?
The Knicks thing.
Are you torn?
No, just
are you torn inside?
Just every Nuggets Clippers game gets to start at 9. It's just annoying. I just want to watch the game.
Where do they play? In Denver and LA.
I understand.
That's why I told you the other day if the Golden State Warriors were just moved to New York and they were the Knicks, the NBA would be in a lot better position. You'd have the best player in the league that every kid wants to be playing in New York with championships. The league would be on its head if the Golden State Warriors were replaced the New York Knicks and the Knicks replaced the Golden State Warriors. People would watch that team, people would pay attention to the league would be a much better place if that were the case. The game that you want to watch starts at 9 o'clock at night here.
Yep.
10 o'clock at night on the East Coast.
Locally.
Yeah. And that'll be kind of when the draft is kind of wrapping up and all that kind of stuff and whatnot. But, you know, if you're a Knicks fan, like, and I know, like, New Yorkers are complaining because the draft is happening and the Knicks are playing. I'll be honest with you, man. Like, if you're a diehard Knicks fan, at this point in time, you're glued to the game. You get the draft on your phone, man. Like, the Giants are picking three. Who gives a rip about where the Jets are picking?
Do you want to know? They pick at seven.
Six, seven they pick. So by the time you've reached the eighth pick, it's all over for you in New York anyway. You don't have to pay attention to it. But if it were me and this was my team playing in the postseason and they got game three of a series that's tied one apiece and you feel really good about your team for the first time in a generation, I can get the draft information on X. I want to watch the game. I don't think there's any comparison. For me, I'm in the draft because I got nothing else, you know?
Now, there is rumors that the Giants and Falcons could be swapping some stuff.
Okay, give me that rumor.
So I saw, again, I don't know what's true and what's not. I just saw there's a chance that the Giants move out of third and go to 15th.
Okay.
And they get Kirk Cousins.
Who said that?
Wow.
Like NFL rumors or ML football or somebody that's just trying to cause like a story.
Right.
But the Giants need a quarterback. I know they have Winston, all those guys. But they're in, maybe they don't want Abdul Carter because this was all in the theory of the foot. Or whatever it is going there. They move out of three, but get their quarterback. Atlanta moves into third. They go get Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
And then you have the 15th pick where it's like, okay, do we build this offensive line in front of Cousins? Mm-hmm. We have Malik Nabers. We have Kirk Cousins. We have a second-year running back.
Could add another wide receiver. You can do a lot.
Let me ask
you
that.
Or you trade Thibodeau as well as another name I saw getting traded out for the Giants as well.
Yeah, the Thibodeau name is interesting. But then you look at, you know, I was reading you the tweet, like the Giants defensive line could be Dexter Lawrence, Abdul Carter, Brian Burns, and Kayvon Thibodeau.
That'd be taking that Philly blueprint.
That's a hell of a defensive line right there, right?
Scary.
Yeah, but now Kayvon Thibodeau's got to live up to his billing.
Yeah, he's,
Can't imagine those defensive lines in the same division.
I mean, and that's why if you're the Chiefs, man, you got to go defensive line, man. Like, you're not that good at the defensive line right now, in my opinion, right?
It's the wave of the future.
But it is. I mean, like, everybody's been copying the Chiefs. It's a copycat league. You need quickness. You need length. You need dogs on that defensive line. And I don't think the Chiefs have enough on that interior of their defensive line. That's why I would go with the interior of the defensive line. Now, let's get back to this trade for a minute here. Let's do the say it out loud test right now. You went and signed Jameis. You went and signed Russell, right? Uh-huh. You're still iffy on the quarterback position at this point in time. Kirk Cousins coming into that scenario is, I mean, for our purposes, drama city. Because you know Russell Wilson, that ain't going to sit well with Russ.
No, not going to sit well with Jameis either.
I think Jameis will be fine with it. I think Russ will be the one that complains.
Jameis is on a team. That's all he wants. He's fine. He'll be the backup. Mm-hmm. He knows he'll play two games a year, get a paycheck, and do it. Yeah,
I get you.
Yeah, Jameis gets it, man.
He'll be a good team player no matter what, but I think he wants to play, and I think there's a chance he plays.
And Russ should like it because he and Kirk are basically the same person. They're cringy. They're super religious.
Yeah.
They have a lot in common.
It's true.
I don't know. It's just people have speculations of like how to shake up drafts and stuff like that. So again, there's no truth to this whatsoever.
No, but it's still fun to talk about, right? Like that's an intriguing trade. And if you're the Giants, okay, so the Giants would get Kirk Cousins and the 15th overall pick for the third pick. Is that what they're saying? Okay. So if you're Atlanta, what do you need that third pick for?
Defensive line help.
Yeah, your defense stinks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Abdul Carter's that guy. Bang. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
What are the Giants doing at 15?
Offensive line.
Maybe a wide receiver. Yeah,
They need an offensive line for a generation.
Because you think about it, you're picking at 15. We've mentioned five names that aren't going to be wide receiver or offensive linemen. Like Genty's going to go. Cam Ward,
Hunter.
Travis Hunter. There's three. So now you're technically picking 12.
Right, the first offensive lineman may not go till 7 to the Jets, the kid from Mizzou, right?
Membu.
Yeah. He may be the first offensive lineman off the board.
I hope he doesn't go to the Jets. I really want him to go to like New Orleans, somewhere it's at least fun. I don't want him to go to New York, dude.
I mean, that's just, every question is going to be about Aaron Rodgers.
Any more, though? I mean, I think he's gone out of New York.
Hope so.
Like I don't know.
They killed that on McAfee's show.
That film lingers, you know, like that film of a pig pen, you know, when he wanted to leave that film. Aaron Rodgers leaves a film wherever he goes. Like people can't stop. Like they still talk about him in Green Bay, you know. And so, I don't know. I just think the Jets situation for anybody sucks.
Either way, you look at the success rates of these picks. We don't know what they will be, but history of Gronk will tell you that there is a history.
There is a little bit of a history. I went to Gronk, the AI. Everybody's using AI now. I said, what's the success rate of these draft picks? And you know, Mac asked a question earlier, what is success determined by? And I think that's a very good question. So defining success, second contract, starters for 2.5 to 3 years, playing 2/3 of the average snap count for your position, that kind of justifies success in the NFL draft. And so you look at what is successful. In the years 2011 to 2017, 53% of first-round draft picks were considered a success. 53%.
Yikes.
So when people sit here and complain about this pick or that pick or this, every other pick sucks.
Yeah.
Every other pick sucks. Only 31% of first-round draft picks sign a second contract with their drafting team. 70% of the first-round picks aren't seeing the light of day after that first contract. Picks 1 through 14 have an 80% success rate. 60% success rate for picks 15 to 25. And where the Chiefs are picking, 26 to 32, 50% of those picks have a success rate.
It's a massive drop.
It's huge.
From 80 to 50?
It's huge. Yeah.
And to think this is like where all the good ones play.
This is,
like,
yeah.
That's why, man. This is why.
I mean, the first round is supposed to be all the names that we know and the great players and whatnot. And so, I mean, it does have a good success rate compared to the other rounds, obviously. Mm-hmm. You look at the second round, success rate for three-year starters is about 80% for picks 32 to 37. 55% for picks 38 to 44, and 46% for the rest of the second round.
Damn.
20% of second round picks sign a second contract with their team.
Golly.
Let's go, Veach. It's all about perspective. And, right. And then you look back at what Brett Veach has done.
Yeah.
And people want to talk about Breland Speaks. Kiss my ass.
Yeah.
People want to talk about Mecole Hardman over DK Metcalf. Blow it out your ear. You know, people want to talk about all the picks that have failed. Brett Veach's success rate probably props all of these up.
At picks 32, 31,
yeah,
22, 28.
Getting all pro players.
It's crazy.
Text line, that's low.
No.
That's twice he's almost slipped.
I mean, yeah, that's the point of telling you this. The point of telling you this is so when you yell about Brett Veach not being able to draft, here are the numbers. Every other player drafted tonight will suck ass.
Carrington Harrison on TV this morning. Look at him.
Shador Sanders will be in one of those suck ass categories.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter may be in that category.
What did Ben Maller call it? Suck you?
Suck you, yeah.
That's weird when you say it fast. Coming up next.
Suck for a couple years.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. Coming up on the other side, we will get into some draft props, bets, money-wise, that you can do in Kansas, not yet in Missouri. We'll bring in our guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Alex Gold will join the show here on the other side on Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
It's today.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan. Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good.
A-plus body type with well-proportioned frame and premium length.
That is Alex Gold, who joins us now from Cody and Gold. Got a long show today, bud.
You got an hour?
Yeah,
Two hours today, you know?
Let's see, you talk draft, and then you get out of here and go take a little break.
Yeah. And then see you guys all up at the landing tonight. It's going to be a good time, man.
What's your say? 31, yes, or trade?
So I always, you know, like the way the draft is setting up where everybody acknowledges that there's maybe not a ton of overall stars at the top, but there's some good depth second and third rounds, which is where, of course, the Chiefs have multiple picks. I would love him to trade down. We always say that, and it's way easier said than done. You know, like you have to find the trade partner. We forget that. Like tomorrow morning, right. If whoever the Chiefs draft, let's say they pick at 31, and then we will be sitting here and people will be texting in and I'm like, how come they didn't trade out of the first round? They could have got that player five spots later. Plenty of times we have heard Brett Veach mentioned they would love to have traded back in a certain spot, but you have to have a trade partner to do it.
That's right.
Everyone's phone says scam likely when Brett Veach calls him, except right, for Buffalo. Does.
Sure, except for Buffalo, right? And yeah. How many times can you take them and steal their picks and players, right?
No
doubt.
Yeah, they no need doubt. To find a superstar.
I mean, eventually the owner of the Bills has to look at his GM and go, stop answering Brett's calls.
Let her go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just let it go.
At this point, Bills fans specifically are just absolutely sick of it. Like, you can do a draft without trading with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Fair point.
Yeah, but also, too, what we're looking at in this draft is nobody's trading because there isn't that dynamic player that people are clamoring to trade up for right now.
I was looking, the over under on draft trades tonight is 4.5. And so because we haven't had any leading up, I actually do think we'll see some in the draft, right in the middle of the round tonight. You know,
I think just tonight's number 4.5?
Just tonight, which seems like a lot. In other years, you get 5 or 6. Because it doesn't necessarily mean one of the top four teams has to trade, but we know there's the random swap. It's pick 21 and someone wants to come up from 26, or the Chiefs want to go from 31 to 24. I mean, some of those can add up. I don't know if we get 5, though. You know, the 4.5, so you need 5 to cash the ticket.
Yeah.
I could see us getting 4. That's why the numbers set it.
So are you taking the under on that?
Yeah,
one,
I'm
then?
On the yeah. under. I think we get like 4 trades in the draft tonight. And the thing with draft betting, it's actually the best market to bet on, the one of the best of the entire season, because the books don't have the normal edge. Well, all year we come in and we talk about this with you guys and we do the picks for the week and everything, and the books have a pretty good edge. They have plenty of data to utilize to figure out why the Chiefs should cover the 6.5 points, let's say, in week 3 of the football season. They got all kinds of algorithms and data to know why that should be the number and why they think they're gonna take in a ton of money from bettors. The draft, you're doing a lot more predicting, and you're trying to, you know, are you buying the rumors, selling the rumors, you know, that kind of stuff. And so they don't have as much of an edge on us, the better that they typically would. So this is where, like, for many, many years, draft prop bets were not as readily available. Well, now everybody to be competitive, like everybody has to offer them. But there was a point in time where books were kind of afraid to do it. So you can take advantage of it. I will say, though, now that we're on draft day, some of the opportunity that we have to bet, they're not as great. For example, Shedeur Sanders was over under 8.5. Where would he be drafted? Meaning, would he go pick 9 or pick 8 or earlier, right? That was where it was 4 or 5 days ago. And you could have got plus money on it being over, so that he would be 9 or later, Saints or later, basically. Mm-hmm. Do you know where the number is at now?
21.5. Yeah. So what made it swing that much?
Narrative. More and more out there, whether it's the hit pieces, whether it's just conversations from the insiders out there that are reporting that they're hearing that the Saints maybe really don't like him, that he could follow the Steelers at 21, so that's why it's over under 21.5.
Right.
Like that's why it's happened. But that's my point, is a week, you know, 4 days ago, you could have bet Sanders over 8.5, and you'd be having all this cushion. See, we think, right? Who knows? Surprises happen. Whereas now, like, that's one you really can't bet on anymore.
Right. You just got to stay away from that one. Now, it doesn't matter the team. It just matters the draft position, right?
Now,
right?
You can
the
do
Steelers
team.
Could play trade up to 17.
Yeah.
And if you took the over 21, well, then you'd lose at that right. point. They took them at 17. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, you can, I mean, you guys have probably seen it, whether it's on FanDuel or wherever. I mean, mm-hmm. you can bet specific teams, too. Mm-hmm. You know, so for example, team to draft Shedeur Sanders, the Pittsburgh Steelers are minus 135. So you can just simply bet, hey, wherever. To what you're saying, Bob, even if the Steelers, I guess, traded back in some reason to 23 and still drafted them, you could still hit your bet. Whereas if you do the over-under draft position, it's over, 21 minus is plus 114. So it's plus money that he'll be later than the Steelers pick that they currently have, or minus 158 that he goes 20 earlier than 21.
Yeah. Do you think he's the most bet drafted person tonight, like, because that's where everybody's watching? Like, a lot of people will bet that he's going to go out of the first round because that's where the money is.
Yeah, him or Jenty, although his market's gotten tough, the running back out of Boise State.
Is his favorite now Jacksonville?
For Jenty, team to draft him, currently the position is over under 6.5, and it's minus 600 that he goes 6 or earlier.
Wow.
So again, one, you really, unless you're betting the over and you're hoping that somehow he slides to 7 or later, you really can't, you're not betting the under anymore.
Right.
A couple days ago, you could have.
Yeah.
As far as the team that he could get to, I mean,
there's a lot of trade rumors out there, like, you know, the Bears may trade up, mm-hmm. the Patriots may trade up, or, I mean, whoever was there, you know.
Yeah, this is, I mean, the market, it's fun because it is so unpredictable. I just think there's some value could have got a few days ago versus today. I mean, the one that I still kind of like from a plus money perspective is how many running backs are going to get drafted tonight. We know Jenty, we know the Hampton kid out of North Carolina. Those are pretty much locks, everybody thinks,
right,
for the first round.
Those are the only two that seem like locks. And the number's what, 2.5?
2.5, and it's plus 125. I like the over. Like,
yes, plus money is the over?
Mm-hmm. I like that, whether it's, hopefully not the Chiefs at 31, but somebody 28-32, Travion Henderson or the Iowa running back or whoever your favorite running back is, basically, right at the end of the draft.
Scatterbill.
He's not going to the first round.
He's going to the fifth.
I could see him going to the fourth, okay, maybe. Yeah. Do you like, who's the running back you guys want the Chiefs to draft at some point? We know Brett Veach basically said we're drafting one.
Whoever he takes
is
fine.
I want the kid from Tennessee.
Omar Hampson. Yeah. That's where I'm
Max
at as well.
Guy.
Yeah. There's a couple Tennessee guys that I would like.
Dylan Sampson.
Thank you.
OJ Sampson.
Yeah. Dylan Sampson.
Omarion Hampton's the North Carolina one.
Yeah. Hampton's the North Carolina. Dylan Sampson at Tennessee. James Pierce Jr. is another player that I would love. You would? Yeah. I'd rather have Junior at 31, and that's just my opinion on that one. But
we are talking to Alex Gold. All NFL draft-related interviews brought to you by Powell Exteriors, JMP Displays, and Salvation Army as we get into some draft odds.
What's your favorite bet?
Yeah,
so one of them is the over 2.5 running backs. Mm-hmm. One of them is going to be that. And then the team to draft Jackson Dart. I like the potential for the Saints to trade back into the first round.
Oh, see, I'm going to throw you for a loop right now.
Okay, plus 250 for the Saints.
You just saw what happened on X, formerly Twitter, right?
What happened?
Okay, Mac just sent us this.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
From Warren Sharp Sharp Football. People seem to respect his stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently, Giants GM Joe Shane's son posted a Jackson Dart highlight reel on Instagram this morning, and then he sent his account to private.
Well, the favorite to draft Dart is the Giants at FanDuel, Bob. People are buying that.
So there it is.
Minus 120 that it's the Giants.
There it is, right there. That's the good. Son of the GM put up a video.
Well, he was right last year. The son was. Would have been.
Yeah, who did he want last year for the Giants? And it was Daniels, wasn't it? If you don't trade up to get him, you're an idiot. He told his dad, basically. Yeah, right.
You think the Jets owners' kids looking at the NCAA ratings for to see who they draft in the draft this year?
Oh, well, Yeah. I remember that from last year as well. It's funny you mentioned the Jets, though. Is there a chance they just draft a quarterback and surprise everybody? Everybody thinks they're taking the Missouri tackle at 7, Mimbu. But Justin Fields, you signed to a 2-year contract. Okay. You know, Aaron Glenn's out there saying, we think we're about to unlock something. Sure. Is there a chance that there's a surprise and the Jets actually take a quarterback?
Are they the sleeper to take Shador? That no one's talking about.
I don't think at 7. I honestly don't think they need to get their organization back. I don't think that. Yeah, talking about just the headache that could bring.
Just like you've got a new coach and a new GM. You don't need Shador Sanders in that mess. Let those guys just coach and do their thing and stop trying to be a damn sideshow. You're not the Cowboys.
Oh my God, look at Pelissero's hair. God, he is ready.
It's perfect.
It is. What's the over under on quarterbacks taken in the first round?
Over under right now on FanDuel for the position of quarterback, it sits at 2.5. It's -179 for the over.
Who's the second quarterback that they think is going to be taken? Shador in the first round? Is that kind of
I mean, this doesn't say what order. Just in general, three quarterbacks. So Sanders, Ward, and then presumably Jackson Dart.
Who's the third one that
Jackson
we would?
Jackson Dart. Yeah. I mean, I just don't buy. I know he's in Green Bay.
Yeah,
which doesn't make any. Why are you there? Why is he there? Yeah, he's going to be sitting there till Friday.
Well, you don't know that. It's a TV show. Everything is planned out. So.
Well, who was it that it wasn't Pelissero. Somebody last night tweeted out that they believe because of the uncertainty, like picks 20-40 or 20-50, that there could be all the mock drafts everybody's been looking at for months. That there could be 15 or 20 players that everybody just thought were, you know, first round picks that all of a sudden you could have half of those guys just slide into the second round. Like we could be sitting there at pick 25, like how the hell? Oh, that's way too much of a reach. Why is he picked at 25? And then the guy everybody thought was supposed to go 25 doesn't go to the second round. This happens every year, it'll happen more. Where it's funny when we were guilty of it probably on Friday morning, and we'll all be talking about what happened in the draft and everything. And we're like,
speak for yourself.
Everybody will be saying something like, and this player, man, they reached for him. They could have got him in the second round. Why are we only say that because the mock drafts and the for 3 weeks claim that player was a second round pick. Mm-hmm. I always think that's funny. I do it as well, but we'll be sitting there tonight at the landing and there'll be pick 17 and we'll be like, He was supposed to go 30th. Like, was he? Or were you sure?
Well, see, that's the NFL draft to me, and maybe basketball is like this, and maybe baseball. I don't know. But the NFL draft is definitely one of those where we allow the narrative to be created by dopes. I mean, seriously, like, we're all idiots in this. Every one of us that's talking about the NFL draft right now on TV or
a ton of speculation.
Morons. We don't know anything that's going to happen. But yet we all look at that and we go, well, this, it's a great point, Alex. Like, this guy's supposed to be here. According to who? Peter Schrager?
He's dropping bombs, though.
Oh, I know he is. But we've allowed Schrager the bombs. Media to set the narrative on the draft.
Yeah.
And we've just gone with it ever since Mel Kiper and Howard Balzer back in the day did their thing. It's like, all right, these guys are saying that they must know something. And we've allowed that to be the narrative. And everybody just falls in the line. And the teams fall into line, too.
Sometimes.
Because they're going to draft this Cameron Ward, number one overall.
What else are the Titans supposed to do at one, though, this year, Bob?
Take like, the best available player.
You got a brand new GM, though. You got to get the quarterback.
But if he's not there, then you're setting yourself back. Unless you're going to have the balls that the Arizona Cardinals did
to trade
and
him after
punted
1 year.
On Josh Rosen right away. And then now they went with Kyler Murray. But, but like, that was a ballsy move. And so you're going to draft Cam Ward number one overall. He's not the best player in the draft.
No.
You have more holes on your team than just a quarterback when you're picking number one. Take the best available player.
So who would you, if you were Tennessee,
Abdul Carter.
So you take Abdul Carter.
I think he's the best player
in
the draft.
And then who would you, obviously they would have made a move earlier in the offseason. Then who would you have gotten at Tennessee as a starting quarterback? You kept Will Levis?
Yeah, you got Will Levis right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Mr. Mayo.
But
trade for Kirk Cousins.
Or trade for Kirk Cousins.
I would have been on board with
that nature,
but that's,
right?
That's a 1 year stopgap. So, okay, let's say they draft Abdul Carter, stud. I'm with you.
But they don't have a guy Kirk this Cousins. Year in the draft. This is where teams F themselves.
Sure, I totally understand. I think it's actually more problematic for a team that doesn't even get the what viewed consensus as the best quarterback, which most people think is Cam Ward, although we were going through this the other day on the show that I think it's 7 out of the last 10 years, the first quarterback taken was not actually what ended up being the best quarterback.
No, 50. I did the stats, and I sent them to you for people who need to see this information. 53% of the first round draft picks go on to be legit players. It's not a high number. And so every other player that's drafted tonight is going to go to a dumpster fire. I mean, that's just the way it is. And everybody's going to look at these same teams next year and go, oh, they swung and missed on Cam Ward. They missed on the. Yes, because 50% of these picks are dumpster fires. And they've allowed Mel Kiper to set this narrative.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. And now everybody can hop on PFF and do their own mock draft, which, look, it's fun for fans. That's why the draft has become such a big event in Green Bay. The whole town is shut down, obviously, for it. And we obviously experienced it here in Kansas City. But yes, the players shouldn't have been drafted here. Stuff is only set by what mock draft said. Now, you were asking about some other bets. My other one that I really like involves the Chiefs. So this has been up there for a while, but now it keeps getting bet towards offensive linemen. What position will the Chiefs' first drafted player be? Whether it's tonight at 31, tonight at 24, to Friday night at pick 40-something, whatever, right? Offensive lineman is minus 210. Mm. Defensive lineman or edge is plus 230.
Really?
I think there's value on putting a few bucks on defensive line. One, that's what I want them to draft, but we've all heard the stories of Josh Simmons or Connerly and all that, and I can totally see him doing that. But the fact that I can get defensive line at plus 230, I think there's some value to sprinkle that at 31. Let's say a couple of those offensive linemen are already off the board and they can't trade back. I think the position they'd be most likely to draft at 31 at that point would be defensive line.
I love that bet because you went and signed a guy. Like, the narrative is the Chiefs don't have an offensive line. Biggest false narrative out there.
Yeah, outside of Kansas City, everybody thinks it's 100% like that they're drafting an offensive lineman.
Right, because we all watch the Super Bowl. They signed Jalen Moore.
Yeah, and look, none of us know if he's the answer, but for 2025, I think he is. You know, I do think because of 5 straight left tackles starting in the Super Bowl, I don't know if you guys have sensed it from your listeners too, but I think people have more of an appetite to draft a player in round one that may not play at all in round one than they would have a few years ago. If it's an offensive lineman, whether it's Josh Simmons, although there's speculation that he could be ready for training camp. But let's say that player
is a
red shirt. If he's ready, I think he's much higher. Yeah, I don't think he'll be there at 31. They'd have to trade up, in my opinion. But I wonder if people are more accepting of offensive linemen that'll just redshirt essentially for a year because everybody's sick of having this left tackle question for 5-6 straight years.
What are the odds of them drafting a running back in the first round or with their first pick?
10-1.
And I know you don't want
too much,
it.
There's too much depth there, don't you guys think, to spend a first-round pick on running back?
No, I believe
it. I do, yeah.
But I'm going with, obviously, where the more money is.
Yeah. Right? I mean, here's the other one. So, running back 10-1, corner 14-1, tight end 20-1, wide receiver 27-1. I think, Bank had them taking two wide receivers at some point. At one point in their older mocks, he had him taking Luther Burden. If you're a Missouri fan and you think the dream's coming true and they're going to get Burden, 27-1 if it's their first pick. Remember, that does not have to be at 31. If the Chiefs trade out and
it's
they're picking
their first pick
and it's the second round and somehow they trade back and a wide receiver's there that they're happy with taking at 40-something instead of 31, you could still cash your ticket.
2 hours a day. What do you got going on in the show?
Yeah, obviously going to talk a ton about the draft, the latest rumors out there, go through some of the prop bets a little bit, and then we'll hand things off to Vern for the On Deck show.
Nice. We appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks, guys. We'll see you tonight.
It's Alex Gold.
A-plus body type with well-proportioned frame and premium length.
No doubt about it. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Gold. He'll be on from 10 to noon, as he just mentioned. Coming up on the other side, it's the crew. The out of control, the character concerns, those guys that you've been listening to that have put all the work in, they join us next. It's Unicero and Binkley on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.